Okay, we'll now move on to the study session agenda for the Mesa City Council for Thursday, October 1st, 2009. First of all, I apologize. I'm going to have to leave early. I have to catch a plane to go to U.S. Conference of Mayors deal, and so I really apologize for these casual traveling clothes. Actually, they're not traveling clothes. My wife and I have a singing performance, which we are then going to leave and take the caretaker's car and hike over the mountains into Austria afterwards. But all right. Would you explain that to Councilmember Fenter, please?
What did you drink?
All right. The first item on the agenda is to review the council agenda meeting, the meeting agenda for the council meeting for next Monday. Page 2. Page 3. Councilmember Higgins.
Mayor, there was a part of item 6A that didn't make sense. So we are on fire trucks. Yeah.
Fire trucks.
And I'll just tell you the sentence that didn't make sense. No, the question is, we're purchasing 2 replacement trucks, but in the background and discussion it says, with these 2 trucks, we're now going to have the optimal number of reserve pumper trucks, but we're selling those. So if we sell them, how does that add to our reserve pumper trucks?
We have some of our pumper trucks that we keep out of training that are technically in reserve status, but they're not really something that we would want to bring into frontline unless we absolutely had to. And so what this will do, this will improve the quality of our backup vehicles, the reserves that we do have at training.
Okay, and then that makes, so we're, the 2 that are being replaced are being moved into training and the 2 in training are being stopped.
Right, right. Got and it. The 2 vehicles that are leaving the fleet, one is in excess of 200,000 miles, I believe, and the other is 150,000 plus with some issues.
Okay, and then in the next paragraph it says these 4 units will be built simultaneously, but we're just buying 2 trucks, and it talks about 4 units, so I was confused what,
you know,
4
what?
Units those are.
Yeah, I would have to get back with you on that one. I don't have an answer for that.
I believe what that is, we the council authorized 2 trucks to be built, I believe it was in June or sometime during the summer, and I believe those 2 units will be combined with these 2 units to be built together.
It talks about the prior sentence, it talks about the 2 vehicles that were approved in June.
So they have.
So now those 2 plus these
correct.
2 will be constructed together.
Okay. Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else on page 3? Page 4? Page 5? And page 6? Mr.
Mayor,
Brady.
Just quickly, I want to make a point to council back on 6B about the helicopter. You'll notice that we are buying a used helicopter. I want to applaud the police department staff for doing a very thorough work and trying to find a helicopter that can meet our needs within our budget, but yet we think it will be a very qualified helicopter to use in the fleet. This number is 800,000, significant number. A new helicopter would be almost double that amount if we had done it that way.
Or more than that.
So, yeah, yes. So I think we've done a good job of really trying to find something that can fit, serve us well, but doing it in a very economical way.
Well, I know they've been searching for a year since the bond election,
yeah.
So it's been 11 months that they've been looking. And this is truly a nationwide search, and I know that they've, talking to them, they've actually gone out and looked at copters in various parts of the country to make sure we got the best one. So thank you for mentioning that. Okay. Nothing else then? If we could, before I go, I would like to move item number 4, appointments to boards and committees, just to make sure there are no questions. Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to actually make a bit of an appeal to folks in my district. We will not be, I'll second the motion, actually, for the appointments. We'll be making appointments to several boards and committees today. Regrettably, it appears we didn't have anyone from District 6 make applications, and we are beginning to slide a bit in representation from Southeast Mesa on our boards and committees. And I would like to start an appeal to have folks, if they have some time or and energy and the desire, to contact the offices and make an application, either the mayor's office or my office, and make an application to boards and committees. We certainly have the largest district, both in, with regard to geographic boundaries and population. I'd like to see us pick up on the number of volunteer representatives on these boards. Library board, design review, transportation, parks and rec all have boards, just to name a few examples. I will be having a pancake breakfast, which I will announce at the end of this meeting at the proper time. We'll be bringing applications and books with us, so if they want to show up, station 212 at 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock on Saturday, we'll have the application process. We also have them online, so that's my appeal. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. And my chief of staff, Kathy McDonald, coordinates the appointments to boards and commissions, and we really, working in conjunction with her, we really make a real effort to create boards that are reflective of our city. And so we strive for diversity on those boards. We strive both geographical and otherwise. And frankly, it's tough sometimes because we just don't have the number of applicants that I think a city our size should have. And we really don't want to have the same old people, although we're very grateful that people continue to volunteer and to serve our city. We'll never turn that down, but would love to get people who have not been involved in the process and people from all parts of the city. So I would like to echo what Councilmember Summer said. Please put in your application from whatever part of the city you're from, so we can have the maintain the high quality of boards and citizen participation that we have. So thank you. Vice Mayor?
I'll just piggyback on that real quick. Scott, be grateful for what you have, because my district has the lowest representation for committees. It's still the same number of people. Piggybacking on that, we really do need to have more people getting involved and understanding what really goes on in the city and all of our organizations and things that we do. So please make that effort. Take a look online. And the following week, when I have my pancake breakfast, we will have applications out likewise to try and encourage people at Station 2.
Thank you. We have a motion by, I believe, Councilmember Kavanaugh, a second by Councilmember Summers. Any other further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The motion carries. I will now turn the gavel over to Vice Mayor Jones. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor, and have a safe trip. Go get all those other mayors in line, would you? We will then proceed now with hearing a presentation on the acceleration and design and right-of-way for the Gateway Freeway 802. Well, I guess Brent and Brian, you're for that.
Hey, good morning, Vice Mayor and Council. Excited to be here this morning. We also have with us our bond counsel for the project, Gus Rosenfeld, and our financial advisors from Wedbush Morgan Securities, and they're here to answer any specific questions that might come up about the item that we're discussing today. We're here to brief you on an item that's going to be on your council agenda on Monday, ordering the sale of not to exceed $20 million in highway project advancement notes. If you refer to the map that we have before you of the State Route 802, the first map that you can see on the screen up here is the full State Route 802 that stretches not only from Maricopa but into the other county. And the next map, the map that you have sitting in front of you, shows the phase one of State Route 802, which we are focusing on at this point. This is the Maricopa County portion of it. It stretches from Loop 202 to Ellsworth Road. And our proposal has been to accelerate the phase one, the right-of-way acquisition, and the design work by 4 years. This does not include the construction component of this phase. If you remember, during the legislative session, we came to the council and reported that the legislature had swept the funds in the statewide transportation acceleration needs account, the STAND money. Those were the monies that we were going to be using to accelerate the right-of-way acquisition, the design, and the construction portions of this. But when those funds were no longer available, when they were swept into the general fund by the state, we started looking at other financing scenarios that would allow us to keep the acceleration schedule in place so that we could continue to move forward. Our priority in looking at the different financial scenarios was to make sure that there was no fiscal impact to the city of Mesa. So we first went to the state to ask them if it was a possibility for them to, the state, to issue bonds to accelerate the right-of-way and design phases of this project. The state informed us that because of the I-10 West project and other major highway projects they have going on in the state, that they have no state bonding capacity left, and they wouldn't have any for several years. So then we looked at the Highway Project Advancement Note project, the HPANs, which is a program that the city of Mesa had put into law back in 2001 that allowed municipalities to accelerate major transportation projects like this, that gave them the authority to issue bonds. And that's what the item on your agenda is today. So in July of 2009, a few months ago, we came to the council with seeking authority to enter into an agreement with the Maricopa Association of Governments, as well as the Arizona Department of Transportation, to accelerate phase one of the State Route 802 to acquire all of the right-of-way in that whole first mile, as well as begin and complete the design. And beginning and completing the design would also position this project so that if any future funds become available, we have a project that's ready that we can then move into an accelerated portion of construction for this Gateway Freeway. Just a few days ago, the ADOT board voted and entered into that agreement with us, as well as MAG, and so we now have an executed contract. And that agreement structures the financing in two separate issuances. And the first part is what we're coming to you today, to issue up to $20 million in HPANs, the Highway Project Advancement Notes. And in approximately 6 months, we would return to the council for the additional $25 million dollars in HPAN issuances. Now, the way that we've structured the deal, the way it will work so that there's no fiscal impact to the city of Mesa, is Mesa will order the sale of these HPANs, and we will advance the funds to ADOT so that they can begin acquisition of the right-of-way and start design. The money that we are bonding for the HPANs will be paid back by the state with Proposition 400 monies in fiscal year 2014, monies that have already been programmed for the State Route 802. Now, the interest that will be incurred by accelerating the financing of this will also be paid with Proposition 400 monies. There was a set of monies that were set aside for advanced right-of-way acquisition, and we've been able to get permission to use those funds to cover the interest costs for advancing the financing of this deal. So once again, no fiscal impact to the city of Mesa. And another benefit of this agreement is that any of the cost savings that are realized as we go about acquiring the right-of-way, doing the design work and finishing the design work, any of the cost savings will be transferred into an account that's been set up for the possible advanced construction of the 802. So we're not going to lose any of the money that is set aside specifically for the 802. Some of the benefits of moving forward at this time with the acceleration, obviously, taking advantage of the current land market value that is going on in the market right now. It would be a really good time to start acquiring this amount of right-of-way. The attractive interest rates that are in the market, as I mentioned before, by completing the design, by getting all the right-of-way and completing the design, it's going to put us into a position that if additional future funds became available, whether through federal or through the state, we will have a project that will be shovel-ready, that will be ready to accelerate the construction. Right now, the 802 would be scheduled for completion in 2020, and that is obviously way too far off for the demands and the needs and the economic development that's going on in that area, which is one of the reasons that we're moving forward to keep the acceleration on task. And so on Monday, you'll be voting on the ordering the sale of the initial not to exceed $20 million of highway project advancement notes. And if there's any questions, happy to answer.
Right. You mentioned that the $20 million, that the repayment for this is coming through Prop 400, and that the state will be taking on the responsibility for repayment. What are the chances that Mesa ends up stuck with that bill if the state doesn't make those payments?
Well, they have the fortunate part of this, the State Route 802, is it has a dedicated funding stream. It was a Proposition 400 project that was, and it's in the, and it's in the five-year TIP of ADOT. And so the struggles that ADOT has with the revenues coming in under budget, that's going to impact the tail end of the 20-year plan. Fortunately for us, this project is in, like, we would be paid back in 2014. And there are, there's the dedicated funding streams that are already in place. And so, barring catastrophic disaster where there no money comes back in and ADOT is unable to pay back, then we would have to pay back the bonds that we were coming up.
So there's a risk, but it's fairly limited. This is a dedicated funding stream based on the voters having approved it. So it's not something that could be swept by a legislative act.
It cannot be swept. The regional sales tax dollars that are coming in based on Prop 400 are specifically designated for this project and cannot be taken away.
Okay, so pretty limited risk.
Correct.
That's it for now, Vice Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, Dennis?
Thank you, Vice Mayor. More just a comment. I want to congratulate staff for the work on this. It really is an example of a continuation of the creative and innovative ways that that our staff works in crafting methods for freeway financing. And it's particularly rewarding to see us be able to use the statute that we advanced back in 2001 to be able to benefit the community with this project, because you're right, the benefits are going to accrue on very many different levels. And again, it's rewarding to see our city continue to be a leader in this type of project and understanding how to do it at low risk to the community, but at the same time maximize the reward to the community. So I want to congratulate all of you who've worked on this. This is another critical piece that will be of benefit to the whole region. Thank you.
And it was that mechanism that allowed us to get the Red Mountain Freeway completed much in advance of what it would have been to complete the 202 loop.
Correct.
Scott, you had another question?
Yeah. How is this going to impact our bond capacity for other projects? Are we still going to have plenty of capacity for
this
roadways?
This is supported by excise tax, and right now we have no outstanding excise tax bond debt. We paid the previous amounts off, or our last lingering amounts off, this past June, I believe. So we have considerable capacity on that side.
Okay, excellent. Just some basic maintenance questions I wanted to ask. This is an important project, obviously, for Southeast Mesa. It joins what voters approved previously with Ray Road and Hawes, not only the roads, but the important infrastructure that goes under it, the water, the sewer lines, that type of thing. It is going to facilitate job growth and economic development around this region. It's going to move traffic much more effectively and efficiently and facilitate the movement of, at some point, of Gateway Airport Terminal from its current location to the east side, where it has the capacity to really grow. Because while we're continuing to grow on the west side, that the capability is really limited there. We don't have much more room. We keep adding some gates. Allegiant adds flights. We add another airline or two. We're going to be bursting at the seams. So having this infrastructure develop is very exciting for the region as a whole, certainly for the city of Mesa. The other thing is that in this economy, if there is a benefit to be had to the taxpayers, it's the fact that we're getting some really good deals on design, infrastructure. We're saving a lot of money on infrastructure as we construct it. Property values have declined, much to the chagrin of many, but at least we can get in there and save a lot of money by advancing this project. So I think for the long term, it's doing taxpayers a big favor, plus it's an important tool for economic development in the region. So I'm in support. Thank you, Vice Mayor.
Dave?
Thank you, Vice Mayor. It's always, whenever we decide to advance and do these things, we paint a really glowy, rosy picture about everything. Do you have a couple of disadvantages why we might not want to do this right now?
I'll give you some. interest cost. You're not. We're only paying by doing this advancement. The real you have to evaluate really is since we're not getting paid back on the principal amount for how many years, Brian? It's
until first
fiscal year 14.
14. So all we're paying is interest. So there's an interest cost to do this, but because we have the funds for the right of way setting aside, we can do that. But there is a cost involved. And what you weigh that against is the advantage, though, of being able to get this project. You weigh the interest cost versus the increase, hopefully to accelerate the project, you avoid then the inflationary cost of construction and other matters, too. So there is a cost. There's interest cost in this project. The interest number?
What's about
Larry, do you remember? Or
it sounds, it's okay. Kind of sounds like these interest-only mortgages.
Well, that's all you're doing on the front end. It's just you're paying interest. But then you advance the project much sooner at the same time, so the project gets accelerated.
At least we know we have a lump sum coming to help pay.
Well, that's right, and that's why you do it, because you have the certainty of the payment from the Prop $400.
Vice Mayor Jones, Councilmember Richards, I'm Larry Gitlin. Vice Mayor Jones is right. Back in 2001, we accessed this mechanism before to build the freeway segment in advance from Country Cove Drive up to Gilbert Road, if you recall. And in that case, the project, it was actually for the construction part of the project. And it accelerated things. I think it was 3.5 years to the benefit of the people of Mesa. And it was the way the financing is structured is such that the way the intergovernmental agreement reads and the attachment behind it, which is the promise of ADOT MAG, the way that works, I would defer to Brent, but the way the repayment comes in is from, I think it's June 2013 through December 2014. And with the bulk of it coming right in the middle of that for the right-of-way acquisition money, the design work is spread out over an 18-month period. And the reason it's the repayment is structured that way is it matches the way that ADOT would have spent the money under their five-year plan. Once the money's in the five-year plan, that money is spent unless there's, as Brent says, there's some catastrophic financial event. I think we've been through that now, and they have the money in their five-year plan to make these payments. The reason it's structured that way, again, is to match the way that ADOT would have spent the money had we not done the accelerations. You have to have that in your mind first, is the design work spread over 18 months. The right-of-way acquisition, I think, comes in right in December 2013 or January 2014. The way the notes are structured and the way we'll be taking bids on these notes is we'll have $20 million of highway project advancement notes maturing on July 1, 2015, which gives us a year's slack in case things fall back a year for repayment. We also have and then the bonds will be callable starting in July 2013, so when the money comes in on time, we can start calling those bonds at any time with the only repayment of the principal amount and the interest that's due at the date that we call those bonds in. If you may recall, I'm not sure if you guys were aware of this, but back with the 2001 notes, those bonds were paid off in advance of the way the schedule originally worked with ADOT. The money came in faster, and the city ended up saving interest because the money came in faster than we anticipated. So in other words, we've got this structure so there's a year's slack already. We have the ability, because of the call feature on these bonds, to pay the bonds off as the money comes in. If you ask, well, what's our risk here, and something catastrophic happens, and ADOT has to push everything back 2 years, well, then we refinance the notes and push them out 2 more years. Now, the advantage of this, and I'm just responding, that's the way things have to work. I know it's the rolling mortgage kind of thing, but that's the way we would have to address it, I would think, in order to make sure that ADOT pays those notes back and not the city of Mesa. The advantage that we have in this case versus the 2001 highway project advancement notes is in 2001 we were sharing the interest costs with ADOT. If you may recall, I think it was like 2/3 to 1/3. In this case, ADOT is covering all of the interest cost. And so this is actually a better deal than we had for the construction project back in 2001.
What is that number? What is that interest cost number? If you were to calculate
the estimated interest cost was $7 million.
Yeah,
and what we have set aside in the program to cover the interest cost right now is $8 million. So we actually have $1 million buffer. Like I said, if it gets pushed back a year, so we have some.
Well, when you say ADOT's covering the interest, what does that mean? Because I mean, it's all taxpayer dollars.
Yeah.
So
and,
I mean,
and back
what does that mean?
As part of Proposition 400, when we outlined the State Route 802. We had programmed $2 million a year starting in 2008 to go towards the advanced right-of-way acquisition. And so that money has been, that $2 million a year has been compiling at ADOT. And so that's the money that we got permission for to use that to cover the financing, the interest cost of advancing these notes. And so in 2001, it was Mesa and MAG who covered that portion of interest costs. We had to come up with our own money. In this circumstance, we're going to use an identified pot of money that was Prop 400, that $2 million a year, which totals $8 million, to cover what we estimate to be the $7 million of interest costs.
So in a way, we've been saving up to do this.
Correct.
Yeah. And what it allows us to do, really, what's the advantage here, especially for the property owners that have been waiting for this transaction to take place, is the certainty that they can get their property purchase and move on. Because otherwise, if they're left there, and they've been, boy, it's been a couple of years now, I think, we've been, they're left there with not being able to develop their property or to sell their property for this project. So it's really put them in a very difficult position. So again, that's one of the costs, but this, we see that's a huge advantage of securing the right-of-way now. What that allows us to do, too, as we talk about, is one, having the right-of-way is important because of the cost of real estate, but it also creates more certainty when we're doing the design, because now we know which parcels we actually control, and then the designers coming in will be able to get their work further along with, because now they have the certainty of knowing which parcels will be under control of ADOT and the design work that they'll be doing, and that's important. Now the design work becomes important because that's holding us up in order to plan the east side development, as the council member was talking about, as far as where the terminals are going, how the roads are coming in to that area and going out of that area. So it's kind of put, until we move this forward, everything's kind of on hold. So this really does help us to accelerate and be in a position, and maybe be in a position where this project can be accelerated even faster than the currently planned schedule of funds, because if we're far enough along in the design elements and acquisition, we're, as we use the term, shovel ready for a project in the future.
Any other questions? I thank you. This is really a time critical issue to get this underway as fast as we can, because of all the opportunities that are developing out there. Having this at least initial segment of freeway in place is really time critical to us. So this is a great opportunity. Thank you. Go to item 3 for the Central Mesa Light Rail Stakeholder Advisory Committee bylaws. We need to give a public explanation here first, so give them a chance.
Good morning, Vice Mayor, members of council. It's nice to see everybody in a jovial mood this morning. I think everyone knows Jody Sorrell and Shay Yoakum here from staff. But in line with council's strategic initiatives, economic development is leading several efforts in downtown, and as it, in particular to this agenda item, the light rail stakeholders group, we're really looking to get into discussion about bylaws and I will put it this way. Jody will give you a lot of details about the specifics to bylaws and the things, but I want to go back and touch upon the importance of this as an economic development tool. This is a great way for us to communicate. So much of what we do in economic development is relationships and understanding the needs and so forth. And we're here as the lead, and Shay's really taking that lead. The bylaws are an important piece. It's a great way to communicate. I think it's important that as we continue along this that we stay out in front of this and go forward. Jody, why don't you go ahead and get into the specifics with the agenda item?
Sure. In September, the City Council appointed community members to serve on the Central Mesa Light Rail Stakeholders Advisory Committee. That committee is strictly an input-only committee. It's not making any decisions. It's not making any formal recommendations. But because it is a council-appointed committee, it is subject to the open meeting law, which means the agendas need to be posted at least 24 hours ahead of time. Minutes need to be kept, and the public needs to be able to attend and observe.
Bill, can you hand Jody the mic you have, because the one she has isn't turned on?
Sorry.
There we go.
Okay. But because let me just back up. Because this group was appointed by the City Council, it is subject to the open meeting law. If bylaws for the committee are not adopted, then a quorum of the 45 members need to be present in order to conduct a meeting. The bylaws, and that means 24 of the 45 need to be there in order so that we can meet and move on. We can adopt bylaws for the committee stating that for the purpose of holding a meeting, we can identify a number of committee members that need to be present so that we can meet on a monthly basis and keep moving the project forward. So we're here this morning to ask the council to adopt bylaws for the committee stating 15 members of the committee need to be present. This will allow us to give us a greater assurance that we can meet on a monthly basis and keep the committee moving forward.
Basically, we don't want a technicality to get us off schedule.
Right.
Well, Mayor and Council, you appointed 47 members. So under the current scenario, you would have to have over 24, or what is the word?
24
members there. The way we're structuring this, and I think we're planning on doing 7 different meetings.
We expect them to meet no more than 7 times.
7 times, but each time there's going to be different topics. We don't know that necessarily everybody's going to show up for every meeting, because they may have a different interest depending on what the topic is related to the work of the stakeholders group. So we want to kind of bring that threshold down. We want to make sure they'll all be invited to every meeting. But I think the proposal is to reduce the number so that would 15 members then would be would define a quorum for these meetings. Now, we need to get at least 15 at the meeting, and hopefully we'll be able to do that at 47. So that's just, we didn't want to get, like you said, Vice Mayor, we didn't want to get hung up that if we didn't get the 24 people that are out of 47 that we couldn't have a meeting and move forward.
Okay. Any other questions? Then we need to have a motion to adopt the bylaws. We had a motion. Who did the motion? Motion, second. Okay, thank you. Any other comment? Then all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, thank you very much. Then we go down to the acknowledgement of minutes, to accept minutes. We have a long list of minutes. Okay, we have first and second.
You have a question,
Dave. Go ahead.
I know it's rather obscure, but I was wondering if anybody actually knew the answer to it. But somebody stated that there were $2 billion in downtown district sales.
How much?
$2 billion.
A B.
Yeah. That was actually in the Transportation Advisory Board minutes. And so I just thought that seemed a little...
What, can't wait for that check.
Odd.
maybe we should remove that one and have a check.
But...
let's look into that.
You know, I know it's just... I mean, advisory board meeting minutes actually have quite great nuggets of information when you read them, so it just struck me as interesting. Does anybody know
over what period of time?
There wasn't one attached to it.
Okay. Well, let me look at those. Let me look at that.
I'm curious, because I know that downtown is a significant sales tax generator,
sure.
Which is why we spend a lot of time promoting it and working with it and doing that, but just thought that was interesting.
So we have a motion and a second to accept the minutes with the caveat of identifying that particular question. There you go. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Very good then. Let's hear reports on meetings or conferences attended. Scott.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. The mayor and I attended a press conference on Monday to announce the receipt of $9 million in federal money for the expansion of the Charles Williams Terminal at Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport. Representatives from Congressman Mitchell's office and the Department of Transportation were also on hand. Once again, we're seeing quite a bit of success at the airport, both in terms of the number of passengers flying in and out, the tourists coming to our city, number of jobs being created, and the capital investment being made in that airport as well. 2 days later, it was announced by Allegiant that they will add their 20th destination to and from Mesa, which is, anybody remember off the top of my head now?
Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita, Kansas. They're flying so many places, I can't keep track. So we are adding another destination. I would like to think that it's probably going to be more of an influx than an outflow, would be my guess, of folks coming from Kansas to Mesa, and I'm okay with that. I'm very much okay with that. But that's what we're doing.
But they've got to go back, so they're going to go both ways. But bring them.
Yeah, as long as they're tourists when they come.
Anything else, Dave?
I attended my first National League of Cities Economic, Community and Economic Development Steering Committee in Michigan. It was very interesting and really on the cutting edge of policy that's happening in Washington, D.C. It's the first one I attended, so I was really surprised at how informative and helpful it was to helping me do my job as a council member. Also of note is this is a committee that Claudia Walters, Councilmember Walters, used to serve on prior to me. And there's a lot of respect for Mesa because of the work that Councilmember Walters did. And I just wanted to thank her publicly for the great work she did there and establishing a great deal of respect for Mesa and the way we do business here.
Very good. Thank you. Dennis?
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I, too, attended my National League of Cities Steering Committee last week in Washington, D.C. Mine is the Information Technology and Communications Committee. And that steering committee completed work on a major rewrite of the National League of Cities policy with regard to telecommunications, cable television, broadband, all those areas which we will be presenting to the full policy committee at the annual meeting in San Antonio. The other important aspect of that meeting is we received a series of briefings from top officials from the Federal Communications Commission and the Department of Commerce, particularly as it relates to broadband issues and stimulus monies. As you recall, we as a city, like many other large cities in America, were not able to apply for stimulus funds in the first round of funding for this because of the way the rules were crafted that really made it very challenging for larger communities or urban areas such as us to apply for grants, particularly in the public safety area, which was our goal to help link anchor institutions in our community, hospitals, schools, libraries, and public institutions. And I really appreciate our staff in helping take the lead in identifying issues. Our committee was able to relate those concerns of our cities in a fairly forceful way to the chief of staff or the Department of Commerce section that is handling this. And so they are working on reviewing comments that we have made to define the eligibility for the next round of funding for technology or for broadband grants. And so it was a very productive meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. And our participation on National League of Cities committees has been very useful. It gives us a lot of information to bring back to the city, but allows us to participate on a national level, giving our input, and also is giving us access to a lot of individuals, cabinet members and such, that we would not otherwise be able to make contact with, and it's been very beneficial. So for all those participating, thanks for service. Dina?
On Saturday, I attended an A.T. Still University fundraiser called Give Kids a Smile at the Arizona Diamondbacks baseball game. Give Kids a Smile is a program that helps that in-between group of kids that don't qualify for access insurance and don't have enough money to have other insurance. So it's a great program. Boys and Girls Club are really involved with A.T. Still, and we will be seeing more stuff about continuing fundraisers throughout the year. Thank you.
All right.
Did you want to talk about the hospital? ER
opening.
Oh, go ahead.
Is that your district?
Yes, that's right. The mayor, Councilmember Summers, and myself attended the opening of Banner Bay Woods Emergency Department last week, which is a 58-bed, 50,000-square-foot emergency department that looked more like a lobby to a very nice hotel. So they're very excited about it. We're very excited about it to meet the needs of our community and hopefully keep the door to dock down to a very short amount of time. So beautiful facility. Hopefully no one has to go visit them this year. But if you do, it's very nice. So it was a good time. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Did you have something else, Dave? Okay. Before we have the city manager talk about future meetings, I just want to invite council members. We have a T-shirt that I need you to sign for me. that I will be presenting to Vice Mayor Simplot of Phoenix tomorrow as he has to follow up on his challenge that he gave me regarding ridership at the end of rail stations. He challenged us that Phoenix would surpass Mesa Sycamore Station in boardings at their end of line station, and I felt very confident that that would not be a problem, and I was held true because I think we were about 4,000 riders ahead of their station in that ballpark. So because of that, he's chairman of the Metrorail Board, Vice Mayor Simplot, will be coming to Sycamore Station tomorrow morning to pay off his obligation. I believe it's 9 o'clock. Is that right, Steve? Is it 9 o'clock tomorrow? 9 o'clock at the Sycamore Station, Vice Mayor Simplot will be coming to clean our station. And we would like to present him this T-shirt of it that we had for our grand opening, that it starts here. And I want all of your autographs on that T-shirt as we present it to Vice Mayor Simplot tomorrow. Okay, Chris, go ahead. Scheduling meetings.
Yes, thank you. And I also want to thank the mayor and Councilmember Kavanaugh for attending our National Emergency Preparedness kickoff that we had at Bass Pro this past Saturday. And I think that went very well. Council, if you will, we have something to, it's the beginning of the active season for us. Every Saturday this month, we have an opportunity for the staff and the council to get out into the community. Beginning this Saturday, we'll have the District 6 Pancake Breakfast, correct? At Station 212, which is there at on Ellsworth, the 2430 Ellsworth. Also, that same Saturday morning, we also have our Household Hazardous Waste Collection event, and that will be at our location on the east side on Decatur Street from 8 to noon. And this is the first time, and this is fairly significant. It took a lot of work from staff working with a variety of different agencies, but we will be able to accept prescription drugs that need to be disposed of and encourage that disposal to be done at our site as opposed to flushing it down the toilet or some other way. And then we'll just remind the council, we do have a council meeting this Monday, October 5th. And we'll have a study session prior to that. We need to convene the Enterprise Zone Commission as part of that early study session. And then after that, we have pancake breakfasts for the remainder of the Saturdays, as well as a GAIN event on the 24th of October and a City Hall at the Mall on October 31st. So it's going to be a busy month. What's that? Oh, and MacFest. Did I miss that? Oh, okay. There you go. So
there's plenty to do.
Lots to do, yes.
Very good. All right. Thank you. Do we have any items from citizens present?
No items, Vice Mayor.
Then with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. So is Councilmember Summers, Kavanaugh second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you.